Welcome to day 59. We are up to Perek Zayin Mishnah Ches, the last Mishnah in the seventh Perek, and then we're going to learn the eighth Perek together. We're continuing with halachos of matnos aniyim, various gifts to the poor that comes from fields, that come from vineyards. And what's nice about this first Mishnah is that it's going to tie together a few different concepts that we've seen already. So not only will it be easier for us to understand, but it'll also show us how much we've learned. So says Mishnah Ches, hamakdish karma, one who consecrates one's vineyard. We know the halacha, we've seen it a few times, that anything that is consecrated, anything that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, is exempt from the matnos aniyim. None of the gifts to the poor come from that field if it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So if one consecrated one's vineyard, ad shelo nodu bohalelos, before any of the underdeveloped clusters were made known, before they could be identified, before they were developed, right? It was very early in the process, in the development of the field. We don't know what's a regular cluster, we don't know what'll be underdeveloped. Then, ein haolelos laniyim. Once the underdeveloped clusters do appear, they do not belong to the aniyim. Why? Because once they became underdeveloped clusters, the moment that they would have been chayev, what would have been given to the aniyim, it already belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, you already consecrated it. And therefore, it is exempt from the gifts of the poor. But if you consecrated it once the olelos already existed, then ha'olelos la'aniyim, then the olelos do go to the poor, even though they didn't collect it yet. We've seen this before as well. It's already considered the property of the aniyim. So then when you consecrated your field, it's as if you only consecrated the part that wasn't the olelos, because you can only consecrate that which belongs to you. The other, the olelos, already belong to the aniyim. Rabbi Yossi says something slightly different. Yitnu schar gidul on the hektish. Rabbi Yossi says that yes, those olelos do belong to the aniyim, but any growth that they had from the moment they were consecrated until the moment they were picked, the value of the growth has to be given to the Beis HaMikdash. So if when they were consecrated, the olelos were worth $5, then they continued to grow in the ground, and then the aniyim picked them, and now they're worth $10. The aniyim are allowed to keep the grapes, but they have to give the difference of the two, the $5, to the Beis HaMikdash, because during that time they were getting their nourishment from the rest of the vineyard that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. So technically that growth belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. The aniyim would pick the grapes, keep them for themselves, and then give that difference in value to the Beis HaMikdash. Ezehu shichacha be'aris. What is considered shichacha by an aris? When does an aris, which is a type of vineyard, we'll explain in a moment, when does shichacha take hold? We know that the general halacha, we've seen this before as well, the general halacha is that once you pass a part of your field, it's done. You are not allowed to go back and harvest it. Lo tashul lekachto, the Torah says that explicitly. You're not allowed to go back. So what is the halacha? Does that apply in all cases? So our Mishnah is going to talk about an interesting case of an aris. Not a regular vineyard, but when vines are wrapped around a trellis. Imagine the Kati talks about like a sukkah, a hut. So they're wrapped around many times. What's the halacha there? It says the halacha, kol she'enu yachal lifshad es yado v'litla. Even if you pass by, normally once you pass by, it's shichacha. But in this case, even if you pass by, as long as the farmer can still reach back and still grab those other grapes that were left there, then it is not shichacha, right? So it really depends on the wingspan of the farmer. Why? Because the vines are so intricately tied around or woven around the trellis, so it's not like regular vines. The farmer knows that he's going to have to make a few passes at it, and therefore, even once he passes by, it's not considered the property of the aniyim until the farmer can't even reach them anymore, because it's assumed that a farmer is going to continue to try, even once he passes by, to get those last few grapes. But by regular vines, vines that like are by people's feet, like regal, right? Regular vines that are just on the floor, they're not intertwined, they're not intricately woven together. That's just the regular halacha mishayavar, and then once a person passes by, even if you could reach back and grab them, it's already shichacha and belongs to the aniyim. Says the eighth parak. Now the halacha is, the only introduction we need to know for the eighth parak is that once all of the aniyim have already picked up their matnos aniyim, all their gifts to the poor, the shichacha, parak, whatever it is, once they're done, anything that's remaining in the field goes to anyone. It is considered hefker. And the way we judge that is, what is the moment that the aniyim basically give up, our misyaish, give up from collecting any more of the matnos aniyim? If you were to ask an aniyim and say, hey, do you want to go to that field and pick up some of the matnos aniyim? If the aniyim would say, nah, I give up, it's not even worth it at this point, then anyone can take it. So what is that point? When does it become the property of everyone else? When is everyone allowed in these matnos aniyim? Leket, shichah, and peah, all of them. Says the Mishnah, Mishayelchu Hanamoshos. When the elderly have already gone by, the elderly were usually the slowest, they were the last to get to the field, and therefore if the elderly already came by, collected, and left, we can assume that everyone did that already. If you would ask an ani at that point, do you want to go collect? The ani would say, It's not worth it. Everything's already been collected. So at that point, anything that is left in the field goes to anyone. What about when it comes to Peret and Olelos? What if it comes to the gifts of a vineyard? Mishayelcho Aniyim Bekerem Ve'eva. Once the Aniyim have taken two passes at it, they go, they collect, then they go again and collect. After that, anything that's left in the field belongs to anyone. Why doesn't the Mishnah say the same thing about the elderly once the elderly pass by? The assumption is that wine, the Mefarshim explained, grapes and wine were considered more valuable. So even the elderly would actually make it their business to line up there first and to really try to get there early, as opposed to with in the fields where they might be much later. So the fact that the elderly went through a vineyard isn't necessarily an indication that everyone has. So therefore, it goes by two passes. What about Vazesim? What about when it comes to olives? So says the Mishnah, olive trees, Mishater Revi'a Shnia, once the second rainfall, once it has the second rain of the season, at that point the assumption is that an Ani would say, nah, I'm not going to go pick it up. Everyone's already picked up Matnas Nasniyim. Amar Rav Yehuda, Halo Yesh in a mosque, that's the same. There are people who don't even begin to harvest their date trees until after the second rainfall. So how can you say that the Aniyim have already gone and finished it? There's some people who haven't begun the harvest at that point. So he says, instead, instead, it's the moment that Aniyim would go through the field and there wouldn't be even enough Zesim to have four Isaros. That's about four meals worth of Zesim. So if it's so few that they wouldn't even get four meals worth, so then if you were to ask an Ani, hey, do you want to go to the field? They would say, nah, it's not worth it, I give up. And therefore, it would become the property of anyone. Again, why in this case? Why don't we say the same thing when the elderly come by? Because when it comes to these olive trees, we're talking about like that second rain, we're talking about in the winter, right? And it was very rare that the elderly would go out. It wasn't the safest of conditions. It wasn't comfortable, so they wouldn't go out. So therefore, the elderly, again, would not be an indicator when it comes to zeitz trees. Instead, it would just be, olive trees. It would just depend on either the second rain or, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when there isn't enough to make four isaros. That is Mishnah Aleph. We will continue with Mishnah Beis tomorrow.